Welcome to Mindwalk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
The only true, lasting American value that's left, buying things. Buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. Money they don't have on things they don't need so they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally and you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that and the kids still can't pass the test. They say, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there. It's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education! Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things. The flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, that the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But say what you want about American folks. Yeah. You can say what you want about Americans. You can call them smart, dumb, ignorant, innocent, naive, gullible, easily led, whatever you want. You're going to have to deal with them. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know?
In the crack of the dawn, we go through episodes too, like Attack of the Clones. What till we break a back and you hear the crack of the bone?
To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
We commute to computers, spirits stay mute while your ego spread rumors. We survivalists turn to consumers.
Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
People gotta live in the trailer, cuss like a sailor. I paint a picture with the pen like Norman Mailer. Me and Wella raised three daughters all by herself, with no help. I think about the struggle and I find the strength of myself. These words melt in my mouth, they hot like the jail cell in the South. Before my nigga Core bailed me out.
Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
Do or die like Best Star. See the red sky out the window of the red eye. Let the lead fly, some T-Rap shit. Living the lead
die. I woke up.
Breezy, smoke trees and we stay drunk. Yo, our activism attacking the system. The blacks and Latins in prison. Numbers have risen. They victims lacking the vision. Shit and all they got is rapping to listen to. I let them know we missing you. Your love is unconditional. Even when the condition is critical. When the living is miserable. Your position is pivotal. I ain't bullshitting you now. Why would I lie? Just to get by. Just to get by. Get fly. The TV got us reaching for stars. Not the ones between Venus and Mars. The ones to be reading for parts. So you forget. Breath and hands resent. Penis enlarger, Saturday sinner, Sunday morning at the feet of the Father. They need something to rely on. We get high on all types of drugs. When all you really need is love.
To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
Pants sing like John Lennon. Imagine all the people watch me rock like Paul McCartney from now until the last Beatle drop.
What?
and get high. We deceive and we lie, and we keep in the plot.
Country simple. Your royal family is nothing but a hologram picture projected by the CIA. What is its purpose? Any way you slice it, it's a grovel operation, the way we like to see them. I mean what we are doing while the Pope and the other holies keep the marks paralyzed with grovel rays is one of the mysteries. We don't intend to be here when this shithouse goes up. Maybe I'm talking too much about private things, family matters, you might say. And that's what we call the good old CIA, the family. When the prodigal son creeps back disillusioned from Peking, information known, expelled barbarian, well, the family will forgive him if he checks out sincere on a lie detector. Well, son, we're gonna take you back. The old ham fixes him with blue eyes like steel in sunlight. Just don't ever let us down again, son. From here to eternity, the old game of war. Where would the family be without it? So we can whittle off a little something to keep the royal family projected in Limeyland, can't we now? So the Queen needs more money, well, call a story conference. Just how are we slanting this, BJ? BJ, doodling muscle boys. Nothing new, just keep it going. They do need more money, otherwise they will go down in the same spiral as everybody else and they wouldn't be the royal family anymore. Could wind up in a semi-detached in Darlington. They're supposed to be a supernatural family, religious figures, in fact. And the more potent in that they're not acknowledged as such. Just ask an upper-class English about the royal family, and he goes all huffy and vague. It's not important. Who cares about Philip? Can't stand that chap Tony. But you want the royal family to continue as such, BJ bulges a jockstrap. Well, yes, we are a monarchy. Now, if you'll excuse me, what about this million a year? We're all together in this. Couldn't abolish titles and keep the royal family. We've had to take cuts. Why shouldn't they take a cut, too? Mutiny in the ranks. He doodles a boy peeling off plastic tits. It could come to that. He doodles a boy looking at another boy's crotch. A light bulb attached to his head lights up. So why not put the royal family in a Darlington semi-detached on a middle-class income and let them prove themselves in a TV serial? Philip and the Queen are doing all right. She is known as Queenie to all the neighbors where she runs a small grocery shop. Every customer receives the same gracious smile and quick inquiries to the family. She is good at remembering things like that and keeping a line moving at the same time. She learned that shaking millions of hands. Philip sells ecology equipment to factories. Good at his work and believes in it. Strong middle class message there. Charles is a successful pop singer. Why, they all get knighted in the end, one way or another, and the windup is back in Buckingham stronger than ever. CIA Black. Don't you think there is some limit somewhere to what people will stand still for? Suppose the ecology equipment doesn't work. Suppose Queenie's gracious smile is reserved for her white customers. She has eyes for Enoch Powell and flying saucers. Suppose Bonnie Prince Charlie, For Christ's sakes, we're building him up, not down the family. All right, call in the special effects boys and give them supernatural powers. Never go too far in any direction is the basic rule on which Slimyland is built. The Queen stabilizes the whole sinking shithouse. I tell you, anything that is not going forward is on the way out. You know what we can do with special effects and electric brain stimulation. Some joker gets out of line, we press a button and he shits in his pants at the sight of her. That at least would be a step in some direction. For God's sakes, now at this point, if the Queen tries to grab more than she's got image-wise, she will lose it all. I mean, we will. All the others are hopeless. Any of you jokers like to try propping up the Queen of Denmark? I say leave it just where it is. It will stagger on for another 5 or 10 years, and that's enough. We get smart at this point, and the English Republican Party will jump out at us. Erp, erp, erp. The Queen is an Aryan symbol, basically Germanic in origin. The Queen is also a white symbol. The white goddess, in fact. Young people want that. Black people want that. Who wants a grovel symbol? Those who need such symbols to keep their positions of wealth and privilege. Look at them. Look at Jennifer's diary. I mean, herp could be dangerous. That's right. We got a good, strong thing here. Why muck about with it? Well, the whole stinking thing could blow up in our faces. Brings on my ulcers to think about it. We could organize her. That way we'd be ready to jump in either direction. The word that made a man out of an ape and killed the ape in the process keeps man an animal the way we like to see him. And the Queen is just another prop to hold up the word. You all know what we can do with the word. Talk about the power in an atom. All hate, all fear, all pain, all death, all sex is in the word. The word was a killer virus once. It could become a killer virus again. The word is too hot to handle. So we sit on our ass waiting for the pension. But somebody is going to pick up that virus and use it. Virus B23. We got the shine school back with Che Guevara in the 19th century set. Is that right? And you got the tiddlywinks cool, too. You can cool anybody else who gets ideas. You gonna cool this powder keg with your moth-eaten queen? I tell you, anybody could turn it loose. You all know how basically simple it is. Sex, word, and image cut in with death word and image. Yeah, we could do it. What about Washington, our orders? Just one test tube and sput. What Washington? What orders?
It is to our deep national shame, and ultimately it will be to the President's deep public regret, that he has followed his Secretary of Defense down the path of trying to tie those loyal Americans who disagree with his policies or even question their effectiveness or execution to the Nazis of the past and the Al-Qaeda of the present. Today, in the same subtle terms in which Mr. Bush and his colleagues muddied the clear line separating Iraq and 9/11 without ever actually saying so, the President quoted a purported Osama bin Laden letter that spoke of launching, quote, a media campaign to create a wedge between the American people and their government. Make no mistake here. The intent of that is to get us to confuse the psychotic scheming of an international terrorist with that familiar bogeyman of the far right, the, quote, media, unquote. The President and the Vice President and others have often attacked freedom of speech and freedom of dissent and freedom of the press. Now Mr. Bush has signaled that his unparalleled and unprincipled attack on reporting has a new and venomous side angle, the attempt to link by the simple expediency of one word, media, the honest, patriotic, indeed vital questions and questioning from American reporters with the evil of Al-Qaeda propaganda. That linkage is more than just indefensible. It is un-American. Mr. Bush and his colleagues have led us before to such waters. We will not drink again. And the president's rewriting and sanitizing of history so it fits the expediencies of domestic politics today is just as false and just as scurrilous.
A failed Austrian painter.
Why did he really want to go to war?
Published a book in which he explained his intention to build an Aryan superstate in Germany, take revenge on Europe and eradicate the Jews.
From the moment he stepped into the White House.
The world ignored Hitler's words and paid a terrible price.
From your cabinet, former cabinet officers, intelligent people, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. The world ignored Hitler's words and paid a terrible price.
What was your real reason? You have said it wasn't oil, but the oil. It hadn't been Israel or anything else. What was it?
Yeah, I think your premise, and all due respect to your question and to you as a lifelong journalist.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
To assume I wanted war is just flat wrong, Helen. In all due respect. No, hold on for a second, please. Excuse me.
The world ignored Hitler's words and paid a terrible price.
My attitude about the defense of this country changed on September the 11th. When we got attacked, I vowed then and there to use every asset at my disposal to protect the American people.
Moreover, Mr. Bush, you are accomplishing in part what Osama bin Laden and others seek.
You know, we used to think we were secure.
A fearful American populace, easily manipulated and willing to throw away any measure of restraint, any loyalty to our own ideals and freedoms, for the comforting illusion of safety.
But we realized on September 11, 2001, that killers could destroy innocent life.
It thus becomes necessary to remind the president that his administration's recent Nazi kick is an awful and a cynical thing. And it becomes necessary to reach back into our history from yet another time and to ask it of Mr. Bush. Have you no sense of decency, sir?
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
I learned in Korea that I would never again, in my life, abdicate to somebody else my right and my ability to decide who the enemy is.
Please forgive me. Please, please forgive me. Please forgive me.
Back from Korea, I was so mad at what I'd seen and done, I wasn't sure I could ever live in the country again. I got on the freight trains up in Everett, north of Seattle, and kind of cruised the country for 2 years, making up songs, but I was drunk most of the time and forgot most of those. I'd heard that there was a house in Salt Lake City by the Roper Yards of the Denver Rio Grande and Western where there was a clothing barrel and free food. So I got off the train there. I was headed for Salt Lake anyway. I found that house, but right where they said it was, but most of all, I found this wiry old man, 69 years old, tougher nails, heart of gold, fellow by the name of Ammon Hennessy. Anybody know that name, Ammon Hennessy? One of Dorothy Day's people, the Catholic workers, during the 30s, they started houses of hospitality all over the country. There are about 80 of them now. Ammon Hennessy was one of those. He'd come west to start this house I'd found called the Joe Hill House of Hospitality. Ammon Hennessy was a Catholic anarchist, pacifist, draft dodger, and two world wars, tax refuser, vegetarian, one-man revolution in America. I think that about covers it. It was pure hell. First thing he did was he said, after he got to know me, he said, you know you love the country, that you love it. You come in and out of town on these trains singing songs about different places and beautiful people. You know you love the country, you just can't stand the government, get it straight. He quoted Mark Twain to me, loyalty to the country always, loyalty to the government when it deserves it. Get it straight, get it straight. was an essential distinction I had been neglecting. And then he had to reach out and grapple with the violence, but he did that with all the people around him. Second World War vets, you know, on medical disabilities and all drunk up. The house was filled with violence, which Hammond, as a pacifist, dealt with every moment, every day of his life. He said, "You've got to be a pacifist." I said, "Why?" He said, "It'll save your life." And my behavior was very violent then. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, I can't give you a book by Gandhi. You wouldn't understand it. I can't give you a list of rules that if you sign it, you're a pacifist." He said, "You look at it like booze. You know, alcoholism will kill somebody. Until they finally get the courage to sit in a circle of people like that and put their hand up in the air and say, 'Hi, my name's Utah, I'm an alcoholic.' And then you can begin to deal with the behavior, see? You can and have the people define it for you whose lives you've destroyed." He said it's the same with violence, you know. An alcoholic, they could be dry for 20 years. They're never going to sit in that circle and put their hand up and say, "Well, I'm not an alcoholic anymore." No, they're still going to put their hand up and say, "Hi, my name's Utah, I'm an alcoholic." So it's the same with violence. You got to be able to put your hand in the air and acknowledge your capacity for violence and then deal with the behavior and have the people whose lives you're best with define that behavior for you, you see. And it's not going to go away. You're going to be dealing with it every moment and every situation for the rest of your life. Well, I said, "Okay, I'll try that." And Hammond said, "It's not enough." I said, "Oh." Said, "You were born a white man in mid-20th century industrial America. You came into the world armed to the teeth with an arsenal of weapons. The weapons of privilege, racial privilege, sexual privilege, economic privilege. You want to be a pacifist, it's not just giving up guns and knives and clubs and fists and angry words, but giving up the weapons of privilege and going into the world completely disarmed. Try that." That old man has been gone now 20 years and I'm still at it. But I figure if there's a worthwhile struggle in my own life, that's probably the one. Think about it. I'd always wanted to write a song for that old man. He never wanted one about him that way, but something mulched up out of his thought, his anarchist thought. Anarchist in the best sense of the word. Oh, so many times he stood up in front of Federal District Judge Ritter, that old fart, and he'd be picked up for picketing illegally, and he never pled innocent or guilty, he pled anarchy. And Ritter'd say, "What's an anarchist, Hennessy?" And Hammond would say, "Why, an anarchist is anybody who doesn't need a cop to tell him what to do. Kind of a fundamentalist anarchist, huh?" And Ritter'd say, "But Hammond, you broke the law, what about that?" And Hammond'd say, "Oh, Judge, your damn laws, the good people don't need them, and the bad people don't obey them, so what use are they?" Well, I lived there for 8 years, and I watched him, mainly watched him, and I discovered watching him that anarchy is not a noun but an adjective. It describes the tension between moral autonomy and political authority, especially in the area of combinations, whether they're going to be voluntary or coercive. The most destructive, coercive combinations are arrived at through force. Like Anna said, force is the weapon of the weak.
Strong enough.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.